Good morning to you who are joining us by radio this morning on this August the 20th. I believe Christmas time. You got my Christmas present bought yet, Gary?
Yeah, I did.
I don't like the sound.
Yeah.
Of
that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was not an encouraging word, they said that when the skies are not cloudy all day. But anyhow, let me reverse that and quit asking that, and go on to say, we're glad you've joined us on August the 20th. We're continuing to study about being broken vessels, but yet God is able to use imperfect people. And there's three of us here this morning who are imperfect people. And I think I'm the most imperfect peoples of all.
Yeah, you're wrong.
No, I think I am. I think I am. But I'm just glad. I woke up this morning thinking, you know, it's just a blessing to be able to serve God any way that He'll let us do it.
Amen.
I will never be a Billy Graham. I will never be some other good preacher. But if God will just let me share the gospel in any way, then that is way more than I deserve.
Well, Herschel, let me just... A few weeks ago, I was at one of our small churches, Mount Tabor, which is north end of Pickens County on State Route 17. And the pastor up there is named Ray Aldridge. He's about to celebrate 27 years at that church. When I first knew him, he was working at Weyerhaeuser. That plant shut down, so he had to find a job over in Northport. And for probably a dozen years now, he's gone back and forth, sometimes riding a motorcycle. He is an interesting character. And his church is made up of folks that are not church broke. I mean, most of them are folks that have been won out of the world.
Amen.
And interesting folks and a wonderful place. And I was telling you, I honor guys like him.
Amen.
Who have made tremendous sacrifices. We were rejoicing that Sunday the fact that a couple of weeks earlier he'd finally gotten placed on day shift. Before that, he was on a swing shift back and forth. And, you know, I know he must have struggled many times, had worked all night.
Amen.
And then get up and come and preach. But a few times I've been up there, and he's asked me to preach, and a few times I've said yeah, because I knew he was just,
right,
you know, going to be standing up there with toothpicks under his eyes. But I love to hear him preach.
Amen.
So that sometimes I say no.
Yeah.
So you can hear. He's a guy that thinks about his experiences in the workplace and reflects on them.
Right.
And draws out of that spiritual truths that are just profound. There's several guys like that in our association that, you know, the fact that they're bivocational means that there's a lot of things they can't do as far as ministry is concerned. But some of the best sermons I've ever heard have been preached by those fellows because they take their life experiences and filter them through the gospel, and they come out with just, you know, wonderful insights. Like some of the things that Bob shared with us last week in our Sunday school lessons. You know, just powerful. And I said, you know, Ray will never be asked to speak at some big state or national event. Probably be asked to lead in silent prayer. But when it gets around to being in heaven,
amen,
I know that God's going to say, Ray, you're good and faithful servant.
Yep.
Enter into my kingdom.
Yep.
Because, buddy, he has been faithful in the 20 years that I've known him. And if any of the rest of my bivocational pastors are listening to that, there's a bunch of you I could say the same thing about.
Right.
Just let Ray be kind of the representative for a lot. And I know there's a lot of bivocational pastors all across Alabama, all across Mississippi, Tennessee, and surrounding areas that God loves, God honors, He appreciates. And I know that when we get before Him, that He's going to say that to you guys.
Well done. Well done.
And just churches, be thankful for these guys, because other denominations are closing up churches. We're still expanding because of the fact that that we've relied on men who are bivocational to pastor so many of our churches. And what an impoverishment of the kingdom of God if that wasn't the case.
Amen.
Well, you were bivocational, I know, for many years. I was. Bob still is.
Triple vocal.
Yeah, four or five jobs Bob's got. It's a blessing. Very much so. So.
But I think there's one common denominator in this, and that is a passion to share the gospel.
They've got a call on their lives.
Amen.
Yeah.
Passion to share the gospel.
Amen.
And that's going
to
be
whatever it takes.
And that's what we're going to be studying about today.
Amen.
I love this scripture today, because it was a scripture that I grew up with, because there's an organization that Southern Baptists have called Royal Ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
This was the key verses. I know Bob and I've Herschel and I talked about this recently.
Mm-hmm.
I made it all the way to ambassador in the ranks of that thing, and something I'm proud of.
Amen.
Herschel didn't get to do that because he didn't grow up in church.
I was too old for it.
But in his early ministry, he worked with Royal Ambassadors.
I did.
Amen.
And this idea of being an ambassador for God is just something that was instilled in me.
Amen.
And thousands of other young men across the decades.
Amen.
And it's made a real difference in my life, and I would say in the lives of many, many other people. So listen today to these scriptures, because they are powerful and life-changing.
Absolutely. So, a passion to share the gospel. Amen. This is not just for preachers. Every Christian should want to share the gospel with other people.
And
that's going to be our goal for today and our subject for today. Let's tell the folks who we are, though, before we get started.
I'm Gary Farley, the Director of Missions for Pickens Baptist Association. Our commercial again today is ask you to utilize the Baptist Center Thrift Store, which is on State Route 17, about 3 miles south of Reform, Alabama. We run a thrift store that's more thrifty than any other place that I know about in the area. Our prices are way, way lower. It's been in business since 1990, and it's all run by volunteers, so it generates a lot of resources that we can use to do ministry. In fact, this coming year, we anticipate the cost of this radio program being covered by the income up there, as well as building a chapel in Brazil, and then several other ministry at the prison, several other things that it will be contributing to make those things possible. So just bring stuff and contribute. Come and buy stuff. It's a great ministry.
And if you do, you will be a part of this radio program.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You'll be a part of it.
Amen.
And you'll also be a part of going overseas to a place that we'll build a chapel where a church can start and the gospel will be preached there.
Yes.
Bob, I know the world knows who you are, but I just want to know again.
Oh, man, I'm Bob Little, and I pastor down at Galilee Baptist Church in the heart of Panola, Alabama. Help oversee another ministry in Tishbe, New Fellowship. Also help with the prison ministry, where the Pickens Baptist Association have been able to plant 3 churches. And like I say, it's been a little better than 10 years that I've been affiliated with the Pickens.
This Sunday's a special Sunday, isn't it?
This Sunday is a special Sunday. We celebrate our 10th year of being in our new building. It's been 10 years, and to see what God has done in these 10 years, not just for the church, but for ministry as a whole. We've been able to do some things in reconciliation. We've been able to do some things in empowerment to help empower those who are in ministry and empower other churches. Collectively, with the Pickens Baptist Association help, we've given out material information to some 6 or 7 other churches. There is a work in progress now that we are working with in Utah, Alabama. Their progress is going on. And so we've been able to utilize what God has given us and pay forward. And like I said, that's part of spreading the gospel. Where can I find something that or somebody who can deposit something in me to help me be more effective at doing ministry? And so again, I want to just say kudos to all those who work, you, Dr. Farley, Brother Hershey, all those who work in the Pickens Baptist Association, for being able to afford us an opportunity so that we can be a hope throughout this region and let people know that the good news of Jesus Christ helps give hope and heal those who have been hurt.
And remind folks again that Panola Day is October 21st.
Amen. The third weekend in October. And we're looking for those who know Jesus and want to share the gospel to come alongside and partner with us. Even vendors to come alongside and partner with us on that day to help it be another opportunity to spread the gospel. As we said before, we've had about 250-plus children give their life because of the carnival, kids' carnival. Thousands of Bibles, New Testaments have been given out so people can have the word accessible to them through this event. So again, we're looking for another great turnout and looking for those who want to see the kingdom advance to come and partner with us and be a part of it.
Y'all have a passion to share the gospel, Bob.
Amen, amen.
And that's the way,
amen.
And that's the way we all ought to be, including those maybe have been a Christian for 1 week. You still want to, you ought to be like in the New Testament that says when they found Jesus, they went and found their brother, or they went and found
amen.
Somebody else and said, we found the Messiah. We found the one that the Bible has told us about. Come see. And so that's to be our passion, to share the gospel. I'm Herschel Owen. I'm pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and so proud that God allowed me to be a part of His
amen.
His great work. We're studying it today, as we've already said, and we're going to have prayer, and you want to find your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, and then verses 14 through 21. So we're going to have prayer, and we're going to get started. Now, Father, lead us in a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so excited about being able to study this passage of Scripture.
Thank you, Lord.
Today. The concept of us being ambassadors is a powerful concept. And as we look at it, we think about it, we just pray that God's Holy Spirit speaks to Christian folks and causes them to realize the task that they have to be an ambassador for your kingdom. And dear Heavenly Father, for those who have not yielded their life to Jesus Christ, who have not been saved, that they'll be challenged by this and say, hey, God wants me to have a high office.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The office of his ambassador, representing him in relationships with folks who are saved and those who are unsaved, so that his kingdom may grow and expand and be recognized more fully where I live and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, Doctor, read us the wood, that
All
scripture.
All right, 2 Corinthians 5:11 is where we're going to begin. It says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
All right, this is lesson number 5. In the series, Broken Vessels, How God Uses Imperfect People. I think I've said that once already. One way that God uses imperfect people is the sharing of the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And no doubt that is high on his list of the things he wants to see us do. One of the realities of life is that we're all different. Every one of us, there's three of us around this table, and every one of us are different. Some of these guys can do things I never will be able to. Of course, they can't sing like me.
Amen.
Or neither one of us fly airplanes.
Amen. Well, that's true. Yeah.
Bob almost does driving down the road. Oh,
I looked down the other day, and this ain't true, folks. Y'all just, I looked down on the highway below me, and a big car went by me, and Bob was, convertible had it down. And I said, well, there goes Bob Little. He's flying to Pickens County. Bob's a great, great Christian guy. He's a guy that we've learned to love.
Amen.
You remember the first time I met you, Bob? I was working on the air conditioner in yonder in that little room.
Okay.
and you had been visiting with Dr. Farley, so when you came out, I met you there.
Amen.
And today, by the way, is a hot day.
Another day for you.
And if I knew what to do, I'd go work on it again.
I got you.
But anyhow, when I met you, and I learned to love and appreciate you. And learned that you had to have a passion.
Amen.
To share the gospel. Study with us today as we consider these things and no doubt many others, persuading men about the gospel. The person of Christ is our gospel,
mm-hmm.
and the purpose that God has for it, the purpose mm-hmm. of men. So, Dr. Farley, you already read the scripture?
I sure did.
And so let's start talking about
persuading
men about the gospel.
Amen.
How are we motivated? And this is to you, Dr. Farley. How are we motivated to persuade others?
Well, that word terror leaped out of me.
Amen.
What is terror?
Well, I'm thinking it has something to do with hell.
Mm. I'm afraid
the realization that all of us are accountable to God for what we believe and how we behave.
Amen.
And that the folks who've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior really will escape hell.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Not only will they escape hell, but they'll get the glories
Amen.
Of Jerusalem.
Amen.
But those who don't can look forward to an eternity in hell, a place without God and a place where there's eternal torment.
Amen.
Now that,
that's something to motivate you.
Yeah, that'll motivate you. Motivate.
August in Alabama ought to be a motivation.
Uh-huh.
Because it's going to be hotter than Alabama in hell.
There won't be no air conditioners there, though.
I know there's some folks that are going to go down there and going to want to raise money for that, but I don't think they're going to be successful in it.
Do you remember, Bob, there's a story in the Bible about a rich man and an old poor leper, named Lazarus.
Yes, sir.
In Luke 16.
Yes, sir.
What did he want, Lazarus, that old guy that he'd kicked around and throwed biscuits out and let him fight the dogs to get? Hell was so terrible and hot. What did he want God to let Lazarus do?
Just put his finger in the water. And just dipped, so he could quench some of the heat that was on him. And you know that's an awesome thing. No matter, it's saying just let him be able to dip his finger in some water and cool. You know, just let
how long,
me.
How long would that last? Well, instantaneously.
That's right. Yeah.
But he wanted just any kind of relief.
Any kind of relief, if it wasn't but for an instant or nothing like that.
Let me share. And I'll get these guys to help me share one of them. But I had a friend named Charlie Thomas. Charlie Thomas came out, I think, of the Big Sandy Baptist Church over in Tuscaloosa. And Charlie was a crippled man. Drove a gas truck that hauled gas like you put in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And drove, delivered it from Moundville. Or maybe he picked it up in Mobile. And brought it to Moundville. But anyhow, he was on his way back down south with a load of gasoline going toward Mobile. And a little red car, a little red Mustang, with some boys out joyriding, scraped the side of that tanker truck.
Lord, it must.
It caught on fire instantly. And because Charlie Thomas, who was a preacher, outstanding preacher, One of the great bivocational preacher, could not get out of the cab of that truck because of being crippled. And they heard him praying and gnashing his teeth until when the body was later recovered from the truck, he had actually gnashed his teeth, some of them out.
Mm.
The pain was so terrible. And I've often thought about that, how horrible that was. But closer to home, and one of y'all may want to share that, we got a pastor friend named Mike Hall who got burned in an industrial fire. Dr. Farley, tell a little bit about him and the awfulness of that.
Well, you know it better than I do, Herschel, but early on in his life, it's been 40 years or so, I guess.
Long time.
Well, more than that, because he's been at New Salem for a good while.
Been there about 40 years.
Yeah, a little over. So, anyway, he was working at a chemical plant and got burned and disfigured somewhat and has had trouble with his lungs because of that.
Right.
All along. But God has used him mightily.
Amen.
But here's a man that suffered the awful agony of a not hell, because hell's no way to compare it.
Yeah.
But that you see a little example of the terrible of the terror oh, yeah. that
right.
His
terror,
testimony
terror.
Has been powerful.
Amen.
Yeah. Share it
but then there are others of you that are listening to us who are going to the hell that we're talking about. You say you believe. Ask us, do we believe hell's real? I believe it.
Amen.
There's more said about it than heaven.
Amen. Amen.
And so,
I think, Brother Hershey, I didn't want to.
That's okay. You go ahead.
That verse 10 of this same
text.
I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in this body, whether good or evil." Now, that is a motivator.
Yeah, if everyone wanted it.
Because now the next 11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that God can speak. And I was telling someone a few days ago was that if somebody ran into me with a vehicle, then I could take them and file a claim or take them to court to make them pay. But if God speaking sent a tornado.
Yeah. What about a deer?
A deer or anything of that nature. And so you can't take any of them. I experienced that a few weeks ago. A deer ran. Can't take a deer to court.
No.
So, understanding the terror of God, we ought to try to persuade men
right.
to change their lives. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways, because in hell you'll lift up your eyes. And hell is not a place that you want to spend eternity.
It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment.
Judgment. Amen.
And you're right. If we we think about meeting God unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, some great preacher, famous preacher, preached a message about the wrath of God. I forgot the title of it, but it was a famous title.
Sinners in the Hands of Man,
right.
Glory to God, Jonathan Edwards.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's something every lost person ought to consider.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also something every Christian ought to consider, because we ought to have a passion to share the gospel, to prevent our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, anybody else we can,
uh-huh.
from experiencing that.
Amen, amen, amen.
So, because of that...
Yeah, and to stand before God open, as an open book. That's what that... but we are made manifest unto God.
Right.
We stand before God... transparent.
So there's nothing.
Nothing we can hide. Can't nothing hide from. No. We can't hide anything. That ought to be scary enough, right there. Some of the secrets that we've been hiding, some of the things that we've done in our lives that we know that was ungodly, and we've had them hid for all the. When we stand before God, when we stand before this judgment seat of Christ,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff is going to be open up. And that ought to make us have enough terror, because he said the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us, and he didn't say y'all, but he said all have sinned and come short of the glory. So now all of us ought to be in fear or in reverence to God and asking God, God, forgive me and cover me with your son's blood, so that my sins will not be seen when I appear before you.
And furthermore, not only will they not be seen or put up on a big screen,
amen.
But that we won't have to suffer for
them. Right,
for
amen,
them.
Amen.
And those that we are have a passion to reach for Christ won't have to
amen.
Go through that terrible suffering. How do you go about persuading men, Brother Farley? Persuading people. How do we go about persuading them? What's the plan?
Well, I think we share with them and
amen.
Realize that really we better not really persuade anybody. It better be the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It does the persuading.
But suppose you come by my house over on Salem Road and you see flame coming out the top. Are you going to stand out on the road and say, Brother Herschel, I'd like to reason with you about coming out of that house?
Yeah.
I think you're going to kick the door down.
Mm-hmm.
I know
right.
I am. If I come
amen.
By your house,
amen.
And I'm going to come in, and if I have to take you by the feet and pull
drag.
You out, I'm
mm-hmm.
going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Bob.
Amen.
I have never had that kind of an experience to do such a thing. But I've often thought about it. How would I do it? The flames are licking at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have courage and concern enough to try to burst through those flames with a wet towel on me or whatever and reach the person on the inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that's persuading
yeah.
people.
Yeah, and that's what I think. It, and we ought to have enough love
yeah.
for people to want to go the extra mile and tell them about Jesus. That's what this thing about the having a passion to share God. Going beyond and above, this radio broadcast is a persuasion to share the gospel. Because we could sit at the one-on-one and talk about it.
Right.
Or talk about lesson. But we have such a love that we want people to be equipped and have a soundness of what they're teaching, that what we're doing is being able to come to them by radio airwaves.
Right.
We do that from our pulpit. We do that from our associations, trying to persuade men to be able to let somebody know about Jesus, because we understand the terror. We understand that they got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we understand the outcome. So now we have enough love, as you were saying, enough love to go into the fire.
Yeah.
There was a story about an Indian was given a testimony about his conversion. And they said that he took a trench and put gas in it. And he set a cricket in the midst of it. And he lit each end of the trench, and by the time the gas had ignited and started moving towards the cricket, he reached in and grabbed the cricket with his hand, and he said, "This is what God done for me."
Mm-hmm.
While I was in my situation of being on my way to a burning hell, God sent Jesus, and he snatched me out. He persuaded me. He didn't have a conversation with me. He snatch me out of hellfire. And that's the zeal and the desire that we as believers need to persuade men, go above and beyond and tell them and do things that'll snatch them out of hellfire.
And I did not be contrary to what you were saying.
Amen.
The truth about only the Holy Spirit can make it.
Amen. Real. Only that's going to be the initiator of doing that, because the only way men will have enough compassion, they have to be persuaded or filled with the Holy Spirit, because we pass and see people every day passing each other, knowing that they're on their way to hell, but we won't mention anything or witness to anybody, because the Holy Spirit is not moving in us.
Love stories told about a little girl that her mother... Her mother's face was scarred, and it was not pretty, like the face of the other little girls, his friends, his mother. And she was always somewhat ashamed of her mother because of she was not attractive now. And then when she was old enough, they told her the story how that she was, the little girl was trapped in the home, and that the mother came through the fire.
Amen.
And picked her up and carried her out. And they said to her, "Honey, that's why your mama's face is like that." And she went in and put her arms around her mother's neck and said, "Mama, you're the most beautiful mother in the whole world."
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
And
you know, I think one of the things we need to take away from the scripture is that in our day and time, people really don't take seriously.
Amen.
They don't really take seriously judgment.
No.
And Paul did, and we need to.
Amen.
You know, you watch the evening news, for example, somebody gets killed. Well, he was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He may have been a drug dealer.
Amen.
You know,
amen. Amen.
He may have been a fornicator. Amen. He may have been a liar. He may have been a person that was... you know, ripping folks off,
right. Mm-hmm.
But we—it's not us that the judge.
No.
Amen.
And you know, getting back to your question, you know, there's a very, very simple kind of gospel, and we need to be the conveyors of it and the sharers of it, in the hope that the Holy Spirit will speak and folks will listen, and they will. Be, as we're going to say in the scripture a little bit later on, they'll become a new person and be transformed. Mm-hmm. But that is to realize, first of all, that we're sinners, that we're rebels, that we're not doing what God wants us to do. And last week we talked about three flavors of sin, lust, pride, and sloth. And be honest, I think all of us have been guilty of all three.
Amen.
Some of us
Amen.
Prefer one flavor over another, but
right.
That's... That's our common situation. And you know, we need to believe that Jesus has provided for us a way in which we can be forgiven of our
Amen.
Sins.
Amen.
Bob, I think last week talked about the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a reality. Amen. We're sinners, and we're under His wrath.
Amen.
And you know, it's I might be the nicest person in Pickens County or West Alabama, but still, if I've not trusted in what Jesus did for me, that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. You know, the basic thing is you realize you're a sinner, even though you may not be as sinful as a lot of folks around you, right, by your definition. Still, you need to trust in what Jesus did. And what He did was He provided, He covered the wrath of God. That's, you know, it's not a payment to Satan. You know, it's not like you see her sometimes. It's just really, God is a holy God, and He needs to, something needs to be done. Instead of us doing it, He does it for us.
Amen. Right?
So that means we can't be arrogant, we can't be proud, we can't say, well, look, I paid God off, I made a better sacrifice, or I gave more to God than Herschel did.
Amen.
You know, it's God that does it, which means then, like we talked about last week, the importance of gratitude. And then beyond that, we need to confess. We need to say, you know, God has changed me. I've been transformed. You know, watch Him work in me, and realize that Satan's going to work on me, and I'm going to mess up because those old tapes are deep. Paul talks about this himself in the 7th chapter of Romans, but cumulatively, as we go along, there should be evidence of the fact that we've been transformed, because usually then we encourage folks, when that's happened, when the Holy Spirit has done a work in them, they've experienced a new birth, that they get involved in a congregation so that they can help other believers, and other believers can help them, and together they can do things that probably none of us could do individually as well by ourselves, and that needs to become our story. And so, you know, let me say, you know, right now all that can happen to you. You just need to, one, say you're a sinner. Two, that you believe that what Christ did for you is satisfactory. Ask Him to come into your heart, transform you, make have a new birth. And then confess that. Let people know what He's done.
Amen.
And get involved with a church where you're being discipled, you're discipling others, and you're on mission together. It's simple done. It takes some courage, and for us men particularly, it takes a little bit of humility, because we want to do things for ourselves.
Amen.
But it needs to happen. And the reason why it needs to happen is that life is short.
Amen.
And what lies at the end of life for folks is death. And after that, the judgment at some point or other. He's going to say, well, you get to welcome into my kingdom, or, you know,
you
aren't part of me.
Yeah.
And it's just that simple, you know. And we procrastinate, and we don't want to say, well, I'm, you know, we're going to let God do it for me. I'm going to figure out some way to do it for myself.
Yeah.
That's so wrong, so stupid, So listen to us, please.
Mm-hmm. Listen to us and then respond like Dr. Farley has said. And you can tell by what he said that the person of Christ is our gospel. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Farley, if you'll read 2 Corinthians 5:14-17.
Well, I want it. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Mm.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Bob, explain about his love constraining us in verse 14, if you can.
Well, to know that Christ died for us and to show how much he loved us, it ought to make us have some constraint on doing some things and some passion, some compassion to help others get to this. Because it says, no, we're going to thus be judged. You know, we'll be judged if we don't understand or pass it on to let people know he died for us all. Because we all was dead in sin. And so now we have an advocate. We have a pardon. We have somebody who has brought us out of this dark situation into the marvelous light. And so now we need to begin to let other folk know, hey, it's not me that live, but who I'm living for. Mm-hmm. And my life now need to be an example of the redemption, the grace, the mercy that he has afforded me. So now I need to start telling other folk, having a passion about telling them what Christ done for them.
All right, so we talk about his love constrains us or compels us. His love, and who could doubt that he don't that he loves us? I never had anybody that I know of, apart from Christ, that ever died for me. Amen. I know people in the service have died for me that I might have freedom, and I've known some people that have given their life, but I think this is different.
Amen.
Oh, I had no doubt this is different. Yeah. His love constrained us. It compelled me. I cannot help but have a passion for the gospel. It's strange to me. I see people that hear it. They hear something new. They think it's new, and they'll run to the telephone.
Amen.
Just got to tell somebody. And it disappoints them so much if the person on the other line said, yeah, Susie's already called me.
Yeah, told me about that. Oh, I thought I had some.
Yeah.
And see, Brother Hershey, instead of us being drawn to gossip, we ought to be drawn to the gospel.
Amen. And what is gospel, by the way?
The good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The saving power of our Lord and Savior. And see, that's the other thing that we ought to be telling everybody. It said he died. Okay, he did die, but he rose again. Through religion, there's only one who ever died for the sins of those who believe in him.
So, his love constrains us. His death cleanses us. His resurrection convinces us.
Amen, amen. There's a song that says, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, risen he justified and freed me forever, and one day he's coming back. What a glorious day. And that's what we ought to be telling folks about. You know, that's exciting right there. Like the folks said, that'd make you want to draw a line in the sand and just go start, like I said, clear your space off and start telling folks about Jesus.
His love constrains us. His death cleanses. His resurrection convinces us.
Amen.
His salvation changes us.
Amen.
We're a new creation. Creation. We're a new creature.
Amen.
And
well, I have trouble with that 16th verse.
16th.
Can you read it out of the other translation?
Okay, 16th verse said, for now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. See, we don't look at them in the flesh anymore. It's almost like I've had a person tell me the reason, which was a minister, said the reason why I can't come to Panola Day because there's some people are doing ungodly things. And I told him, I said, you can't look at what's in the cup. You need to look at the soul because every soul need to be saved.
Amen.
And see, our problem is we like to look at people in the flesh. We like to look at people of what they've done in the past. But what we got to look at is what God can do with them in the future. Look at their soul and give them what they need and stop looking at them in the flesh.
You're helping me a whole lot because that just wasn't clear to me. It's getting clearer. Thank you.
Okay, so that's what we got to get away from. Looking at people in the flesh.
And you can look at the other side of that. looking at some great person, maybe mm-hmm. our president.
Right.
But listen, no comparison with him to Christ. Now we look at Christ.
Uh-huh.
We regard Christ.
Yeah.
And we share about Christ. That sinner we look at, we no longer condemn him. We see Christ and what he did for that sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see the sinner in a whole different light.
Amen.
Is that not right?
Amen. That's it, yeah.
Does it read on some more there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it says, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer.
Not in the flesh.
Not in the flesh, because now we got to look at him from the spirit, and from the spirit man. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm-hmm. See, now we got to start looking at folks not from the flesh and not what they've done, but we look at them by what they have confessed. And since we look at them now by their confession, we look at them as in Christ, as a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become.
It's pretty obvious, but yeah. How does that apply to your ministry at the prison?
We've seen people that have done things that seem to be so detrimental, so damning.
You want to be repulsed by them.
Right. So devastating. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that they've done, you know, and only through what Christ can do through his word. And as we go in and minister and preach to them, we've seen and heard of women transformation through what Christ have done in the spirit.
Don't you think, Bob, if what Paul was saying, when I look now at one of those ladies in prison, mm-hmm. a murderer, a drug dealer, or whatever else it may be, but I don't see them as they were.
Right.
I really don't even see them, if they're lost, as they are.
Right.
But I see them as they can be.
Amen.
A new
creature in Christ. Amen. And one thing come to mind, Dr. Fall, is that one time I was in prison there preaching, and this lady who had died twice. She was the ringleader of the Muslim sect. And she came to service. And after service, she came and testified. She said, mm-hmm. First of all, I realized that Allah don't save. Mm-hmm. Allah don't forgive. Mm-hmm. And Allah can't heal. Mm-hmm. And because of that, today, I want to give my life to Christ. Because when those women prayed for me, and they told me they prayed for me, and by the grace of God, his spirit resuscitated mm-hmm. me. And now I'm a true I believe that there's power in Jesus Christ's name and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because I'm standing here as a living testimony of it.
Mm-hmm. What about that song, Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin?
Amen.
There's power in the
amen,
blood.
Amen.
Power in the blood.
Amen. And so that's why we got to not look at folks from the flesh anymore, because by the grace of God, he can take the worst sinner and make them the greatest saint.
That's right.
You know, he can take the one who's done the most outlandish things and give them an opportunity to live again. So we ought to be excited. That's why we Amen. Got to share this gospel with folk that said, look here, you might have done some things in your old way of life, but now it's time for a change, and you need to become that new creation in Christ so that your old things can be forgotten and forgiven.
That's that passion, isn't it?
Amen.
That's that kicking Amen. The door down when Dr. Farley's laying back there breathing in that smoke of that fire. I'm not going down there and say Mary had a little lamb, Dr. Farley. Dr. Farley, I want to tell you about the weather out here today. It's cold out here.
Mm-mm.
No, I'm telling you the truth. We're going to have a passion.
Amen.
A passion. A passion for women in prison.
Amen.
A passion for the good man down the road who gives money to have the streets fixed.
Amen.
And everybody thinks he's just the best thing in the world. But brothers and sisters and lost people that are listening to us, when you realize when you realize who Jesus is and what he can do and what he wants to do, they're going to be, man, you ain't going to, you're going to have a passion.
Amen, amen. And I think it's, in today's time, this is what we consider evangelism. And it has become one of the lost arts of the church.
Yeah.
Because evangelism, it takes an effort. Discipleship takes an effort. And in our microwave society, we do not want to take the time out to tell folks about Christ and to train people so that they can be effective enough to go out and tell folks about Christ.
So, if we look at the little old outline, persuading men about the gospel, the person of Christ is our gospel, our only gospel, the powerful gospel. His love constrains us, his death cleanses us, his resurrection convinces us, his salvation changes us.
Amen.
But what about the purpose of God for the purpose of men, Dr. Farney?
Well, am I supposed to read the next verses? 2 Corinthians
5:18-21.
Yeah, they left the 5 out before. So it's not in there. Okay, 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness, that he made the righteousness of God in him. Wow, that is such a passage.
Amen.
And that's your passage. That's your royal ambassador.
It sure is.
Passage there.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, what are we reconciled to God for? God saves us because he just wants us to go to heaven. He saves us in 2017. We don't die to 2041. So he just wants us to get saved. And he said, well, I'm through with them now. Got them saved. What does he say the purpose of God for the purpose of man? Why in 18 and 19 are we reconciled?
Okay, we are, and we made this point when we did the salvation ABCs earlier.
But it won't hurt to go again.
No, it won't. The we're at enmity with God. We're rebels. We need to get on his side rather than being on Satan's side. History is the story of the battle between good and evil, with God being good and Satan and his folks being evil. We know who's going to win, and we're stupid if we don't get on the winning side. You know, it's kind of like living in Alabama. You ought to become an Alabama fan.
Amen.
In Georgia and Florida and Tennessee, Alabama fan.
Yeah, even though I wear my UT hat every now and then. Anyway, let's get back on serious. So he wants us to be reconciled, and he wants us to become agents of reconciliation.
Amen, amen,
we
amen.
We need to say, hey, you know, you're at enmity with God. You're a rebel, and the rebels are going to lose.
Amen.
And so show some good sense and respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and be reconciled to God. Get on his side, and then because of that, then we become ambassadors for Christ, that we become those that are telling, you know, the good news to people.
And you already experienced, you learned what an ambassador is.
Yeah, he's one who represents the person of the king in the court of another. So basically, as we go around, we're being a representative of Christ. And personally, your question a while ago, you know, sure, he wants to save us, but it's not just then you get into a holding pattern and wait till you die and go to heaven. And meanwhile, you've got to be active in being an ambassador, one that's sharing with others, again, the idea that you're a rebel and you need to get on the right side.
Amen.
Bob, in verse 21, what else has he become? We became reconciled, to be reconciling.
Well, he became sin for us. Yeah. In other words, he exchanged his position with our position so that now that we can be what he has called us to be. This reconciling or reconciliation, restoring us to favor. If you put that in, restoring us back to favor with God, you know, who has restored us back to favor by Jesus Christ. The 19 said that God was in Christ, restoring us to us back to favor, the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses, then, and has committed us unto the word of restoring to favor. See, once we receive favor, we got to then extend favor to restore others back to favor with God. And then he shows us an example that Jesus now has, in verse 20 said, now as ambassador of Christ, as through God do beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye restored back to favor to God. Mm-hmm. Then it says, for he that knew no sin became sin for us. Well, he made him to be. Jesus was not born a sinner or created a sinner, but God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin.
He never committed one. He never.
That now we can swap places and become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ.
And our prayer to you is this: be ye reconciled to God.
Amen.
We've got a passion to tell you, we don't get paid for getting on the radio and doing this. Not a one of us gets a penny for doing this. We believe in something. We believe in the lostness of men. We believe in the love of Christ. We believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. We believe he is the only way, not a way, but the only way. And that's why we come. And what we ask you to do is, first of all, if you're not a Christian, please trust him as your Savior. And if you are a Christian, please think about the lostness and the suffering of men that is to come. And let God put a passion in you, a passion in you in your Sunday school class, a passion in you on your job, a passion in you there in the home with the children, maybe with the lost husband or wife, a passion in you for your neighbor, that you would tell them about this wonderful Jesus who did more for us than anybody in the whole wide world. We've been sent as ambassadors to you today. And we beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And he will make you acceptable by his shedding of blood that he's done, and by his giving you the credit for his righteousness and taking the blame and the penalty for your sinfulness. We have a passion. I hope that you have a passion to tell the world that Jesus loves them, and tell the world that Jesus will forgive them. Everybody needs to know that God doesn't hate them, but that he loves them and he will forgive them, and they died to pay for their sins. Please, please, pray for those in need and tell them about the love of Christ.
Amen.